On the line, Rhea, to introduce Les Bowen from TheEnquirer.com, The Daily News.
Yes.
Please read his most current tweet.
Day two, the Eagles legally tampered with fans' feelings more than anything.
Les Bowen, a witty and brilliant reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Les, how you doing today?
Oh, good grief. Hi, Igor. How are you? I'm just still trying to get over. I have this image of Al fixing farm equipment and overalls and a straw hat.
What a war.
All right, Les, let's start right now. I'm going to ask you the question the fans are asking the most. Why do this to a man we all love, Malcolm Jenkins? Why did they do it?
I guess they couldn't come up to a contract agreement. This has been simmering for a long time. You remember how he didn't do the off-season activities last year. They got him to come into camp, and there seemed to be some sort of tacit understanding that maybe they'd get a deal done. And they didn't get a deal done. You know, the season started, and the season continued, and they did other deals. And, you know, when Malcolm said at the end, in the locker cleanout day, that he wouldn't play under this deal this year, you know, that was kind of a line in the sand. And at that point, it looked pretty grim, and I guess nothing ever really changed. We don't know exactly what he wanted. He was making $7.6 million this year. That's, I think, about 14th among safeties in the NFL. He wanted, you know, a hefty raise, and they're trying to get younger, and, you know, they have some cap concerns, although Howie Roseman always seems to figure out ways around that when he wants. You know, it just got to this point. The astounding thing to me, Angelo, is who are they replacing him with?
All right, we'll get that soon. I want to focus in, though, because, Les, if you had called after what happened to Dawkins happened, you could have said all the same things. They couldn't come to an agreement. The Eagles thought, you know, he was past his prime, et cetera, et cetera. But they never really valued the quality of what he brought to the team over and beyond the field. Aren't we talking about the same thing with Jenkins?
Somewhat, yeah. The Dawkins thing was just a little bit different in that what they did was when they couldn't come to agreement, they let him go out and look in free agency thinking that he would find that he didn't have, you know, that their value on him was pretty solid. Instead, Denver gave him way more money than they thought he was going to get. I don't think that's the case. See, I think Malcolm probably will get more money than the Eagles are offering. We don't really know what they're offering. But, you know, otherwise, yes, in terms of leadership, this is kind of scary because they're parting with Jason Peters apparently as well. And I'm really starting to think Howie Roseman spoke at the Combine about retooling and not rebuilding and a three-year window that would start this year. And nobody took that too hard because the last three-year window, is the way he sketched it out, was 2017, starting in 2017. Of course, they won the Super Bowl that year. But I don't know that they really expect to win the Super Bowl this year in the first year of their three-year window. I kind of suspect they're looking a little more down the road, and this isn't really what I expected out of the offseason so far.
All right, we went back to see what Jeffrey Lurie said about Dawkins. I'm going to tell you right now, Dawkins, he's a little higher level because Dawkins is a Hall of Fame player, number one, and he played his whole career here to that point. But this is what Jeff Lurie said looking back after Dawkins had gone. Listen to Lurie.
It's a shame because I would have loved Brian to play every single year with us. He's probably my all-time favorite player, and I think our fan base's all-time favorite player.
I'm going to say that Malcolm is up in the top five for Lurie as well, Les. Couldn't he have gotten involved and said, no, I'm sorry, you got to keep Malcolm? Because this sounds like a Howie decision, and I'm wondering if the owner could have stopped it.
Probably could have. But again, I don't think Jeff Lurie woke up yesterday and was surprised by this. This has been going on since last year, and I think Lurie knew what the numbers were, and he must have been comfortable with what they're doing. You know, they could have done this at any time during last season or last training camp, and I kind of think maybe Malcolm thought Lurie or Howie had kind of told him they would. But the number they had in mind was not close to the number he had in mind. So
I hate that. Yeah, you keep talking about numbers, and I keep talking about the value of a leader and what he did last. He's the only guy that never got hurt. All those defensive backs, how did they ignore all that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, especially since they haven't signed a corner or a safety in free agency so far, and that's the black hole of Calcutta, you know, for them for the last decade. It's been the corner position, really, and the defensive backfield as a whole, you know, it gets beat for big plays quite a bit. So you're removing from that unit the voice of experience, the guy who got everybody in the right set, you know, and calmed people down, got people fired up, et cetera, and so forth. It's a puzzling move, and I don't know, you know, I don't know where the defensive backfield kind of goes from here. It doesn't seem like it's going to be greatly enhanced in any way going into next season.
All right, Les, I'm looking at the statement. And I think, you know me, I love to assign some blame. And conspicuous, Les, conspicuous by absence. He does acknowledge Jeff Lurie. Malcolm completely leaves Howie out of the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And even more significantly, leaves the coaches out of the statement. Was something going on behind the scenes where he was kind of alienating himself with the coaching staff?
I don't know. That might be a little You know, Malcolm's a guy of very bold opinions. He would say after games, you know, I told Jim Schwartz we had to simplify things here, that we were getting too many mental errors, too many complicated coverages. You know, I'm not sure Schwartz has quite an ego, and
yes,
I don't know that that was really his favorite thing for Malcolm to. This is something Malcolm would talk about more than once, you know, and I don't know that they were always of the same mind when it came to what the defense was doing out there. And certain players, too, Malcolm, you know, what he said about Sidney Jones that was in the all or nothing thing, you know, it was pretty pointed. I don't know that they always appreciated that from him, whether he was the voice of truth or not. You know, I think that the coaches wanted to coach and have him, you know, kind of do what they said.
I mean, I can't, you know, Jalen Mills is now the –
because Jim Schwartz loves him.
Well,
I don't understand it.
This Jim Schwartz fixation, Rhea, does it drive you crazy?
That's why Chris Long isn't back here, right?
No, Chris Long is – Jim Schwartz may be a problem here, right, Les?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never been – he's an interesting guy, and I like dealing with him as a reporter. But his scheme is so based on the pass rush, and I think – offenses have evolved over the last – Jim Schwartz was a big deal with the Tennessee Titans a long time ago with Javon Kearse and Haynesworth and those guys. But I think offenses have evolved to where they can protect. You know, they can set up max protect and they can find ways to keep the quarterback reasonably safe. And I don't know that Schwartz's schemes – you know, his coverage is just – I don't know. The bottom line is he doesn't allow a ton of points, which I guess is a good bottom line. But it's frustrating to watch, as you know,
sure
everybody
is.
Knows.
Sure
and you know, he does play favorites. I mean, there are guys that he are his guys, and he kind of can overlook a lot of their mistakes. And there are guys that aren't his guys that he has no use for. And maybe that's a little bit true of all coaches, but I think it's more true of him than some.
Les, thank you for giving us our hot seat today. We're going to put Jim Schwartz on there for sure. Read him every day. The guy knows his stuff. The great Les Ballard of the Enquirer.com. Thank you, Les. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Angelo.
All right, Al, I thought as a public service here right now, Al, I would like to just – I'm going to keep going back to Dawkins for a reason. It's the biggest mistake the Eagles have made in the past quarter century. They took an icon, somebody everyone loved, and they just let him wear a Broncos jersey. I will never forgive them for that. Not even the Super Bowl victory got me over that hurdle, all right? So here's the thing. I want you to hear again what Jeff Lurie said, because Jeff Lurie basically is lamenting how it ended, but then he let it happen again with Malcolm Jenkins. Here again is Lurie.
It's a shame, because I would have loved Brian to play every single year with us. He's probably my all-time favorite player, and I think our fan base's all-time favorite player.
And he let him go, and he didn't learn from it. And I don't want people to forget how Andy Reid reacted to losing his best player ever. Here is the current Super Bowl champion.
Let's keep the questions directed towards and about Stacy. You can ask me questions, again, about Stacy. I want to keep this his day. It's a special day for him, and let's keep it that way.
All right, shut up. All right, you know, bottom line, Al, here's the bottom line. They didn't learn from their mistake the last time.
Yeah.
They are going, there is going to be a void of leadership in that clubhouse that no individual will be able to fill. I could tell you that right now. The Eagles lost two games in next year's record when they lost Malcolm Jenkins. I'm going to assign two of the victories to him because that guy was always there when you needed him. Well, always there.
I think
shame on them.
What it tells you is what they think of Wentz, that he's everything. He's everything.
What does that have to do with that?
Because if you're going to go spend your money, it's going to be on that side of the ball.
Okay, well, where are they spending it?
When
are they doing that, Al?
Well, when?
Things aren't,
when?
Things aren't over yet, but I mean,
Al, big name guys are.
Oh, I'm conserving money for no one.
Well, that period of, I mean, you can still have roster changes to September. But to me, it just shows you that their philosophy is going to be, I mean,
I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to say it right now because I consider this war. If that damn Jason Peters is back, 6 years older than Malcolm Jenkins, an injury waiting to happen, just because he happens to have a friendship with Jeff Lurie, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be bad.
Well,
I was going to say I was going to kill myself, but all I have to do is wait for somebody to breathe on me. Let's go to John. John, good morning. You're on 94 WIP. Hi, John.
How you guys doing?
Are you angry?
Angry? I'm PO'd.
Talk to me.
Okay, this is the whole thing. Jason Peters, a guy who gets probably hurt during a bye week.
Yep.
You know, you're thinking about bringing him back.
Yep.
And this guy never missed anything, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a Philadelphian, you know, and I'm just so mad. It's like, what else did the guy have to do? He asked for a pay raise.
Yeah. You know, deserved it.
He deserved it. He deserved it 100%.
And they said, no, you can leave. 32 years old, you can go.
Yeah, goodbye. We're not going to get nothing for you, you know.
Yeah.
You're not getting nothing for him.
Well, I'm sure they must have looked around for that. He had a year left on his contract. But nobody, look, when they know you're about to release a guy, they're not going to give you something for the guy.
Yeah.
Right? No, they did this. Here's the thing, John. How you feel about this man means nothing to the Eagles. I always thought, you know, that whole bond they created with the Super Bowl, that they would have a special sensitivity to the way the fans feel. That right there, Malcolm Jenkins right there, that's the most beloved Eagle from the championship team. True or false?
True.
He's here the longest.
Well,
he's a spokesman for the team.
Foles.
All right, Foles too, but he's already gone.
Right, but that's what
Brandon
I'm saying.
Graham.
Brandon Graham's up there. Yeah. But
what
I'm saying, John?
The defensive play that worked, that whole Super Bowl. What did Schwartz do?
They had no cornerbacks or defensive back safeties for the last 2 years except that man, and they showed him the door. Tell me what world that makes sense.
Damon Mills is going to go on an IR for waving his finger.
You're good with that stuff, John. When I need an injury analogy, I'm going to ask you. John, give me a job that people are still doing during the crisis.
Mailman.
Mailman is a good one. Stay right there, John. Al Morgan, he'll tell you what you want.
And you actually did win something. $25 gift card to Fingers, Wings, and Other Things.
Nice thing.
Yes.
Takeout, of course. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T or Verizon cell phones. When we come back, Al, what happens psychologically when your favorite player is shown the door? We will deal with that and flu-related issues with Dr. Joel Fish. Late in our next segment. Stay right there. WIP Sports Time, 7:17.